But really, I wanted to just talk about today is, if you like, is a little bit about responsibility. I haven't got a PowerPoint for the talk or anything like that, but just based on really some of the things that we've been reading in God's Word. In Reach, we have four key values, and I won't mention too much more about Reach after this, really, but four key values. The first one is generosity. I should ask some people here who are actually involved here, what are our values? First one, absolutely fundamental. If you forget any of the others, first one, generosity. Be generous. Always, always be generous. The second one is believing for better. In other words, we don't have to be there. We can actually get here. So, and God, that's a God-y thing, isn't it? God wants us to come out of Egypt and into the promised land. He wants to deliver us through Christ from sin and darkness into his wonderful light. That is believing for better. It doesn't have to be that way. Second one, and kind of where I pick up the theme for today, is respect and responsibility. Now, responsibility, it's not so much what we want people to do is, because it's so easy, and this is what I think possibly, and this is just Henry view, so it's okay, blame me. But when we get too much of the welfare state, giving without any responsibility, people expect it. Whereas in fact, it's we expect our clients to take responsibility for your problem. We'll take responsibility for what we can do, but it's not my problem. We'll work with you and help you through it, but we want you to actually begin to take responsibility and ownership, because if they don't own it, there's not much we can do. Lastly is honesty, and that's a real problem sometimes. So that's a real thing. We need to be honest, obviously, with them what we can do, and we really like it when they can be honest with us, and that really helps. But responsibility is the one I'm focusing on. And, just a few examples of where people don't take responsibility. It was my wife's 50th birthday last year, and we went to an event in Cambridge in the cafe. Now, I'd spoken to it. Angela wanted a really light touch sort of kind of an event, which kind of does have a little bit of a problem with me. I like things to be well organised, and believe it or not, I really do. And, just how it's going to be, set out. And so she didn't want, just people sit anywhere, which is a kind of makes me a bit jittery. Let's just be really intentional about what's going to happen. And I'd spoken to the lady in charge of the restaurant. Yeah, it's fine. Yep. And I said, there could be 30, 35 people. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. We got there. It's almost like they didn't know we were coming. They said they were going to put decorations up on the wall. It wasn't up on the wall or anything like that. There was one person, or I think maybe two people serving, for a team of 30-odd people. I'd given them a list of what everybody wanted. They didn't know who wants this, who wants that, and I felt really embarrassed by it. So I wrote to them just to give them a little bit of feedback. Nothing. I wrote to them again. Nothing. Rung them. Then they wrote back to me, "Oh, Mr. Wilson, we'll offer you a free, meal or something like that," which expired apparently at the end of January last month. "I'm not interested in compensation. I just want you to take responsibility that a mistake happened. We apologise for that. That's all. I wasn't asking for anything else. I haven't used the voucher. Just, I've not done anything with it." There appears to be at least we live in that sort of, there appears to be at least a couple of areas of lack of responsibility taken. And for me, it speaks of a blatant lack of responsibility and maybe, this is just a Henry view, a subtle lack of responsibility. So the subtle lack of responsibility, I believe, is probably the most crucial. Now, a blatant lack of responsibility is really clearly picked up in Genesis 3, in the first reading we had in 12, verses 12 and 13. I don't know if we can get that one up, and I didn't mention it to them earlier, but Genesis 3, 12 and 13. If you can't, doesn't matter. Because I don't know if you noticed in there, really, and I hadn't noticed this before, but Adam blames God for giving him the woman. Now, I hadn't picked that up before. The woman you gave me. In other words, so God's saying, oh, it's my fault, is it? And then, nope, haven't got it, it's okay. And then Adam blamed God for giving him Eve, and then Eve for giving him the fruit. So in other words, not my fault, Gov, not my fault. And then so obviously passes it, and then of course his wife says, not my fault, it's the serpent you gave it to me. This is a blatant attempt at not taking responsibility. And so often we hear in the world, it's not my fault. We seem to live in a culture of blame. Where there's blame, there's a claim. You know, you've seen the advert and other bits and pieces, and they're quite sad, really. And it kind of, and everybody blames health and safety. Apparently, I don't know if you've seen the most ironic sort of symbol, I think, of our, it speaks to me anyway. It's at the sports centre, the leisure centre in Haverhill. Have you seen they've carved out one of these Dutch elm disease trees? I think it's Dutch elm. But they've carved a diver diving into the water. And I said, that's a bit ironic, isn't it? I said, we can't dive in. We're not allowed to. You're not allowed to dive in the water there. And I spoke to Warren Smythe, he's the CEO, and I said, so why is it we can't dive in? He says, it's insurance. They won't cover us for it. That is it. Insurance won't cover them for it. I mean, I learned to dive into water shallower than that little table on there. You hit your head once, and you know, that was it. You didn't. You just learned to dive. You got on with it. It's not. Oh, and I saw a little picture of kids playing Conkers. Have you seen them with their goggles on? What's all that about? And I went to the dentist just a couple of weeks ago, and the man got out a mask. I thought, where are you going? And then got one on me as well. And it was sort of like, you know, and dark glasses because they put light in your eyes. I don't know what all that's about, really. And I'll survive. I'll get a bit of water on my face or something. But then there's that subtle lack of responsibility. In John 5, how long had the man been disabled? Can you remember? 38 years. Now, maybe that's what we find a lot with our clients. I can't get healed. There's no one there to help me in the water. And ineffectively, that's what they're saying, the same thing. There seems to be a loss of hope. He'd stopped believing that things could ever be any better. And in some respects, he wasn't really taking responsibility. And that's, you might say it's a bit harsh, really. But it was, there's no one there to get me into the water. There's no one there to help me. There's no one there who can bring me whatever I need. Instead of, maybe there's a responsibility. Because I think we talked about this in our small group in the week. We thought, well, like, so was he there 38 years, day and night? I don't suppose he was, really, was he? And he probably went to the toilet a few times. Or you know, let's be realistic, really. So there's probably somehow he got around. He probably wasn't there for 38 years totally. But he might have been, and I could be completely mistaken. And in fact, I'll take it all back. But you know, there seems to be a lack of that subtle responsibility. And that's what we find. Oh, it will never be any better. You know, and I can be like that too. And I guess if we start to examine our own selves, there's times where we think to myself, it ain't ever going to get any better. And then we start removing God, the great God who is able to do the impossible. We start removing him out of the equation. When I went to Bible college back in 2003, I wouldn't say we were poor, because that's a new definition these days. But it was hard, it was tough. You know, we really didn't have money, you know, spare money. And I thought, if I'm going to be cutting down my hours that I'm working, this is going to be really tough. I had an expectation that it was going to be really tough, it was really going to be hard. And someone said to me, he says, don't have an expectation that God's not going to bless you financially. And to be honest, I won't go into the details, but I didn't end the year in debt. In fact, I took the family on holiday overseas, their first overseas holiday. That was God's blessing. You know, we sometimes have that expectation that it's never going to get any better. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Start believing. Start believing in the impossible. I've used this expression here before, but, you know, it's, you know, why not me? Why not Haverhill? Why not Haverhill Methodist Church? Why not us? Why not now? Sometimes we really do forget how big our God really is, how much he loves us, and how much he really is for us. But I've said a lot of that already. My colleague, Leslie, I managed to persuade her to come back for 6 months before she moves to Scotland and in the summer. But she's leaving this summer. And do you know what? There's a little bit of me that says, how on earth are we going to replace Leslie? There's a real nervousness about me, but a sense of excitement because it's what God can do. I sometimes like a little bit. I don't know. Let's rephrase that. I don't want to be thinking here, God. But when there's something unexpected that comes along, there's almost a sense of, but then sometimes there's a sense of excitement because how's this going to get fixed? What's going to happen? What's God going to do to make something really, you know, amazing happen, to transform it and to transfer it around? And I'm in that sort of stage at the moment where I don't know the answer. So I can't say this is what happened because I don't know. Nothing has happened yet. There's the natural and the faith. Now, let's be ridiculous for a moment. And maybe you might be able to go with this as well, really, because I've been ridiculous too. But let's imagine we do nothing about it and wait for God to provide the right person. Now, in some respects, nothing wrong with that. And he might. He might actually just so happen to provide the right person. Or the alternative is that we can be very intentional about finding a replacement. In other words, we can really do what we can do. We can take some responsibility to actually influence the outcome. I'll come more to that in a moment. Now, this might not necessarily be the best expression to describe this process, but if you like, I tend to describe it a little bit like of putting ourselves in God's way, getting in God's way, want for a better word. You know, let's get in God's way. A bit like, you know, the woman who was with bleeding for all those years. What a really, really sad story. And the time that Jesus then takes with the woman to actually speak, daughter, daughter. Real sense of, you are in relationship with me. I love you. I'm really sad by all the ill health and bad treatment that you've had from well-meaning people and all the isolation from the temple because you've been bleeding all this time. But you are my daughter and I welcome you in. She put herself in God's way. He was on a journey. He was on a mission to save Jairus' daughter. It's your turn. And you just read it. Zacchaeus, it's your turn. There's so many stories. It's your turn. When we just happen to put ourselves in the way. Now, if Zacchaeus hadn't have... I mean, maybe Zacchaeus could have stayed behind. He could have sat up in his tree. Or not in his tree, but he couldn't... If he didn't choose to go and climb up the tree. If maybe the woman has said, nah, Jesus isn't interested in me. I better not go and touch him. Because if I touch the hem of his garment, I could make him unclean. But she put herself in God's way. I don't know if the right expression. I really don't know what the right expression should be for that. It's a bit like we have to move first. You know, like I say, or put ourselves in God's way. You see, in the morning, early in the morning, I say early in the morning, not that early, but I choose to get out of bed as long as the heating's on first, and then go and sit quietly as close as I can to the heater and read and pray. Now, that's a choice thing. Do you know what happens if I don't go? Not a lot, really. I still hear from God. God still loves me. I'm still a child of his. I don't feel guilty about it or anything like that. But that's more about who God is. That's God's nature towards me. It's just that he keeps pouring out his love regardless of what I do. But I'll tell you what, I achieve so much more when I'm intentional about my own spiritual life or about the ministry of Reach. If I just allow it just to happen, God will be gracious. He really, really, really will be gracious. But if I'm intentional about it and say, God, you know, I really want to do business here with you, it's like there's a bit of oomph that comes in. And for some of you might know that I was a photographer many years ago, and I still am a photographer, I suppose, really, but I used to go out and do weddings. And if I used to pray before I used to go just to find the right locations and get the right one, it was almost like I could take a photograph standing on my head, to be honest. I could take photographs now. Give me a camera, I'll take a photograph, I'll get it exposed. I wouldn't even need a meter or anything like that. But if I really want to get the oomph and get it spot on and bring something really special out of it, bring God in. And then suddenly it changes. Taking responsibility to put myself in God's way appears to achieve so much more. Imagine if we got in God's way all the time, including me. Just think what we could achieve. What could happen? How effective the church could be in reaching the lost and setting the captives free. Now, when I prayed this week, and I felt as if God said something specific to me. Now, I'm nervous about saying this, but I've written it down. So take it in the spirit that it's meant. And it's not meant in any bad way or anything like that. And probably you'll say, I don't know what you're on about, but you've got a new minister starting here. And I felt as if God said to me this: it's not all his responsibility to make the church grow. It's everyone's. It's not his responsibility that you grow as a Christian. He will probably be part of that, but don't put that on him. Taking responsibility for what we can do for ourselves. And it's about putting yourself in God's way and see what he can do. I'll just say this one last phrase once more. Can you imagine if we all got in God's way all of the time, including me? Just think what could happen. You know, if I did more of that, you know, when you get that oomph in, how effective the church could be in reaching the lost and setting the captives free. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, I do pray, Lord God, that you will just continue to work in our hearts. Forgive us where we don't put ourselves in your way. Forgive us where we get distracted and so easily look at things that we shouldn't look at, like Facebook, you know, when the time set aside for the morning is set for reading and reflecting, and we get caught up on maybe that email that just didn't quite get done last night. Help us, Lord, to remember to put ourselves in your way. You're still there. You'll always be there. And when we wander off because we're busy, help us, Lord, to take responsibility for our own growth, our own well-being. Lord, it's great that other people come alongside and help us, and we're really thankful for that. But Lord, let us not have an expectation that that's going to happen all the time, but help us to be able to help ourselves to make those choices which will mean that we can make a difference, not only to others' lives, but our own lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are interested in us, that you so love us with such a passion. Help us to live our lives for you to make a difference in the community, the others that live in darkness. Oh, it's so dark sometimes for some people. And they just need that little bit of light of Christ, which will make such a difference. Lord, let us serve you better. No guilt, because we're in a relationship with you. And that relationship is unconditional love. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.